Hey everyone, and welcome to Table Dive, a tabletop RPG podcast where we take a dive into a variety of systems, test them out, and then give you guys our unprofessional opinions on them. Today's dive is going to be Dragonbane, and it's going to be a little different than normal. We've been playing Dragonbane on the side as sort of an actual play project that's had to get paused due to some time restraints, but we didn't want to waste that, so we decided to take the first few episodes of our actual play and turn it into a review. So with that, let's take a look at Dragonbane, a game of mirth and mayhem, a classic fantasy tabletop role-playing game full of magic, mystery, adventure, demons, and dragons, with a bit lighter of a rule set. Let's hop in and see what you think. The scene flickers into view as a large fire of the, I guess, the shattered wagons on top of the various bits of collected lumber. Were you guys going to use a thing of oil as well? Was that the plan? I know you have several uses.
Yes, I believe we discussed it. We were going to use one of my oil lamp things.
Okay. So we have these shattered wagons and this collected lumber and this bright fire just roaring in the right outside these ruins. The illumination kind of burning against the pitch black night sky all around you guys. And as the camera moves in closer, we can see the three of you in various places around the camp. And I think with that, I'd like to maybe get a bit more, I guess, detail from you guys on your characters and maybe how they're feeling at the moment. Everything kind of happened so fast, from getting captured, becoming slaves, and then the attack and the ruins. It was all, you know, it was all pretty back to back to back. So I kind of want to get this, maybe like this inside look of how each of your characters are reacting to this and what they're currently doing to prepare for the night and the task ahead.
Yeah. I think Corrin is kind of in two different mindsets at the same time. He's kind of bouncing back and forth from being scared and excited. Scared, obviously, the fact that these tales that, you know, his mother used to tell him to scare him and scare him from doing bad things might be true, but also excited for the stories he's going to learn and be able to write himself about this kind of stuff. So he's kind of two different mindsets, and he's starting to kind of have more feelings towards his companions now. He thinks Hugo, he seems decent enough, maybe a little aggressive, but he understands the purpose of community. And the main selling point of him is he's taught me the beauty of sleeping in trees, obviously. And Tharian is very self-centered, but that could just be the way he grew up. And so I want to give him a chance to show that he can be a better person. That's how Corrin's feeling right now.
Hugo is in a state of denial. He is currently unsure of what happened because all he has known from just stories growing up about demons and all that, like, he doesn't actually believe what's going on and what he just went through. He's currently just carving up this bear for dinner, just in his own thoughts of home. He kind of misses home right now, but he's unsure what to do.
And Tharian has found himself resting on the trunk of a tree that's relatively close to the fire, feeling the warmth off the fire. And he's holding his gold and blue pearled medallion, kind of clutching it to his chest a little bit. And he's shaken up for sure about the events that have occurred. And he's almost like he's meditating. His eyes are closed and his, you know, head's back against the tree. And he's trying to fill his head with soothing visions of the water, where he's far more familiar with being and far more comfortable being.
Yeah, I think this is probably, I mean, I guess it's kind of up to you, but like, is this probably like the longest and furthest he's ever been from like a waterway or like a coastline, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely the longest that he's been away, you know, makes small treks inland to conduct business and things like that. But, you know, he's pretty anchored to the riverbeds and things like that.
Yeah, so I think I want to actually, let's touch on this, the carving of this bear. What's the plan here? Are you cutting up the whole thing? And we're probably going to need a hunting roll to determine like how much of it you get that's edible, I think.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. All right, I need a 12.
That's a 10. That's a success.
That is.
Can you roll 2d6 for me?
Yep. 8.
8. That is going to be the number of, like, I guess we'll call it rations. That's the number of potential, like, times you could eat off of this one bear. Now, carrying that with you and preserving it, that's a different story, right? That's up to you guys here in this moment.
Well, Hugo doesn't have any like preserving salts or the carrying capacity to carry it at the moment. So I think Hugo would just eat 2 servings just to get a full belly tonight, and then the rest he wouldn't bring with him.
Yeah. What about... Oh, yeah, go on.
I was going to say, Therian will, you know, have himself a share, you know, just enough to fill him up and keep him moving. The resourceful part of Therian would recognize that this flesh, whether, you know, fresh or rotted, could serve very well as bait.
Oh,
so he's,
yeah,
kind of considering the possibility of you know, having this cubed up, tucked away, and bringing
just
it
something to fish with in the future.
Correct.
Yeah. For sure. Let's see, is bait an actual item in game before we create one? That's not how you spell bait. It doesn't seem so. So we'll have to make one, but that's fine. Yeah, maybe we could dice up one of the rations into like a more usable substance to fish with.
Yeah, that could be done.
Do you want to let's have Therion make a roll? Give me a fishing roll, and we'll see if you can. That makes the most sense, obviously.
I agree.
So give me a fishing, and we'll see.
My knowledge of hunting and fishing and seeing what he's doing, can I help him with that?
I would say you can. He did succeed anyway, but we can say you do it together. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get your fill of a ration's worth, but then you take another one in and start like, you know, dicing it up way smaller and tucking it away. It probably won't be good to eat for very long, but definitely fish won't care.
Awesome. And I'll kind of look to Hugo, just give him kind of a, you know, like a nod and a little sly wink. You never know when you come across a nice fishing hole.
I'm gonna give him a wolf paw thumbs up. He goes, got a chunk of meat in his mouth and all that. He's carrying it over to the fires to cook it up.
What about Corin? Is Corin, I guess, stereotypically, halflings are big into food.
Yeah.
But being from a, like a caravan that travels, I guess, they probably don't have the same luxury as, like, the, you know, like, halflings that live in small settlements that can garden. And so, I guess, how does Corin partake?
So, growing up in a caravan where food sometimes is scarce, but sometimes is abundant, it's kind of like the poor man's mentality of you eat as much as you can when you can. So it's just whatever's put in front of me, I eat it. But then if I don't eat for a day, okay, I'll eat something small if I have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like never let it go to waste.
Exactly, yeah.
Plenty of food, and we just can't take any extra with us, unfortunately.
And then I'll stuff my belly.
On that note, Hugo's gonna turn around and get back to cooking the rest of the food and start setting up camp stuff.
Yeah.
I guess Hugo wouldn't really need to set up a bunch for camp because he sleeps in a tree.
I don't think you guys have a bunch for camp.
No. I just got my fur that I lay down on a giant branch and sleep on. But Hugo will make sure to move stuff away from the bonfire to make sure it doesn't catch while it burns itself out at night.
Do you let it? Here's a question. Do you let it go all night? Or do you put it out before you guys go to sleep?
So we're not thoroughly sure if bodies are burned completely to release the demons. Or to prevent
Demons? they've at this point, you could say that they've burnt all the way to like ash, right?
Yeah. So,
but like, do you want to let the fire continue further through the night as like kind of like, I guess more,
I mean,
so
it would
give
protection fire, yeah.
Give you away, like it would show people that there's someone there, or do you want to like put it out and kind of like use the cover of darkness?
I mean, I see an argument for both, but I would probably rather let it burn just because of the stuff that we know comes out at night.
Right.
But that's about it. Like, the stuff we know comes out at night, we don't want it coming near us, so I would rather have a fire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, are you talking about, like, goblins and orcs?
Yeah.
They just can't be in the sun.
Okay.
Yeah, fire, totally fine.
Well, in that case, we would probably just put it out. Yeah, putting it out would be the best bet, so we didn't attract them. Because, I mean, we're sleeping in a tree anyways, but we would have to take shifts anyways.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, who knows, you know, at this point, I would think that Therian is definitely in this situation where, you know, we wouldn't want to draw any extra attention. We don't know what's out there, who's out there, so staying as off the radar as possible would make the most sense.
Yeah, if we can survive the night without the fire, we can put it out.
All right. Do you guys want to make some bushcraft rolls for me to sleep through the night? While making camp, you guys need to sleep at least one shift. That's 6 hours. So in those, well, basically, you know, there's the three of you, you take enough shifts to keep guard, and then each get at least 6 hours of sleep. I need each of you to make a bushcraft roll to find a suitable resting place. Anybody without a sleeping fur gets a bane on this roll. If you fail, your rest does not count as being restful enough to count as sleep. If that makes sense.
Not enough to recover.
Yeah.
All right.
No. I think you do still recover. You become sleep deprived. You know what I mean? Because you don't, if you took a 15-minute break, you wouldn't have, it's not requiring you to sleep. You're still resting for 6 hours.
I mean, so, resting for shift recover effects.
You would still recover. You would still get your health back, and you would still recover your conditions. You just would be sleep deprived the next day. You know what I mean?
But how does that work, like, mechanically, I think is what we're trying to figure out here. Like, what's the purpose of making the roll, then, if there's no consequences?
Sleep deprived. It's a status.
Oh, is that a status? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Exhausted? Or is it something totally different?
Let me find the exact rule.
Either way, I'll probably fail. Yeah.
It is not a sleep deprivation. You need at least one shift of uninterrupted sleep every day. You cannot sleep in armor. After 3 shifts without sleep, you can no longer heal, willpower, or conditions. You heal HP as normal. You also lose a D6 willpower each shift that you remain awake. If you reach 0 willpower while suffering from sleep deprivation, you collapse and sleep for 1 shift and cannot be woken. Once you've slept at least 1 shift, you can heal your willpower points again.
That's okay.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to try to do that. This is a shift rest we're doing, correct?
You are sleeping for a... technically, yes. This is, you're sleeping for one... You're camping for the night for 1 shift.
Yeah, I just want to know which button to click to see if it... Oh, it doesn't roll for you, though. Okay.
Well, what roll what?
I just click the sleep button.
You don't need to roll anything.
We got to roll bushcraft, right?
Yeah, but I was seeing if it was going to automatically...
Oh, yeah.
Do the bush.
Well, it just, that's only if you're sleeping outside. If you're sleeping in a bed in town, you don't have to make that roll.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. But I still recover everything else. So,
yeah, you're still
I was only down 1 willpower. So.
Yeah. You just become sleep deprived the next day.
Success for Hugo.
Corn, do you have, not Corn, Therian, do you have a fur to sleep with?
Negative.
Negative. So you have to make a bushcraft roll with a bane.
Did Corin also have to roll with a bane?
Yeah.
Does he have Does he have a sleeping fur?
I rolled with a bane.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I was the only one that started with a sleeping fur.
Yeah. Therian also fails. So where was this? There's a sleep button, you said?
Yes.
Underneath willpower, there's like
a bed.
Round rest. Yeah, it's the bed one on the right.
Ah, okay. So
yeah.
Go ahead and click the bed. For Therian, because you do recover, but you now have sleep deprivation. Is there a section to mark?
That's like, what I was kind of hoping for when I clicked it, that it would like automatically do that for me, but I don't see anything.
Yeah, I don't see a spot.
And there's no like manual there's conditions.
I guess you could add it to notes on the last page, but I guess just keep it in mind, right? You're sleep deprived. You didn't sleep good. Added it, throw it into the role play.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll put it in my notes. Sleep deprived times 1.
So everybody's conditions should be cleared out, right?
Yes. That button automatically clears out your conditions, heals your HP accordingly, and gives you back your willpower.
So you need to go, 3 days of sleep deprivation before it gets bad. You know, does that make sense? You need 3 shifts without sleep. Oh, sorry, not 3 days. So 3 shifts. So that's 6-hour period. So if you don't sleep, the night went by, but if you go the first half of the day and then the second half of the day, that's 2 shifts of time. by evening, then you know what I mean? It's not 3 days, it's three shifts without sleep. Time continues, even if it's not sleeping.
Yeah, because we're sleep deprived right now.
It's so not like
you,
you're...
Think yeah. You stayed up all day, and then you couldn't sleep all night. Now you got to stay up all day again.
It just gets worse through that day.
So either we only travel for a little bit and try to sleep earlier, or we push through.
I'm just saying we have to make it at least an attempt for shift sleep every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's with if nobody has... It's like if everybody succeeded, it has to happen once a day. But both Therion and...
By supper time today...
Corrin are going to be...
We're going to be...
In a bad place, yeah.
Yeah. Because that'll be 6 hours from now, and then another 6 hours will have be three... That'll be three shifts. So in 12 hours from now.
So, I think at this point, right, the sun is starting to come up. Like, the little bits of sun are speckling through the trees. And we find, you know, the three of you in various, wherever you slept. And, you know, as the scene kind of starts, it's, you know, we got Corrin and Therion still, like, wide awake. Just kind of, like, eyes a little bloodshot. How was that night for the two of you? Like, what's your current state? Like, how do you feel?
Probably not, like, exhausted yet. Still probably kind of amped up from everything that's been happening. That's probably what kept me up all night. Kind of little bursts of adrenaline as I remember what happened. And then, like, I go through phases of kind of, like, energy crash.
Yeah. And it's not that you, maybe it's not that you didn't sleep a wink. It's just that you didn't sleep enough to be restful. You know what I mean? Maybe it was just 5 minutes here. You'd wake up, the ground's uncomfortable. You'd hear a noise.
Yeah.
What about Therion?
Yeah, Therion's feeling, you know, kind of defeated. Like just, you know, the one bit of solace that Therion could take in this experience is, you know, having this... you know, the smoke settle on this terrible experience and just trying to rest. But, you know, tossing and turning and waking up every couple of hours or so has just really made him feel deflated.
And then I guess Hugo, like, perfectly rested, waking up.
Slept like a baby.
Yeah. What's Hugo's, like, ready to go? Like, come on, let's go. Yeah.
Energy, man. He slept in a tree. He was comfortable. He's good. He's ready to go.
So realizing I had such a crappy sleep, I'm going to go, hey, Hugo.
What's up, Corrin?
Hey, do you think you could cut up the bear?
Some more? What do you need? You need some more
food? I was just thinking maybe we could do... some sleeping things.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's... I can cut it up, but I don't know if I could make the stuff. I don't have anything to craft it, but yeah, I can definitely cut it up for you.
Can he make me a sleeping pelt?
No. It's,
no? Oh, okay.
I mean, he can cut the fur of the bear off of you, but you would need to take it to, like a tanner and someone to like sew up the edges. You know what I mean? Otherwise it's just going to be bloody bear skin with fur on top.
Okay. Well, I'll still take the pelt to maybe turn into one later.
It does weigh one.
So, Hugo,
what's up, Corrin?
Do you think you could carry this for me?
I don't know if I have the space for that. I've still got all of this food I was carrying for Therion.
I think it was Corrin's food too.
Yeah, I was carrying both of you guys' food.
I'll kind of...
How much room do you got in your backpack there, Corrin?
I'll kind of, you know, take it off, open it up, rummage around a little bit.
None.
Well, I don't know how we're going to take this back. I mean, you could hold it with your arms. You're going to have to put it down if you're going to try to climb a ladder or something.
Well, I don't think we find any ladders out here, but... No, that's fine. I'll just leave it behind.
All right.
Thank you for the effort, though.
He gives me backpacks.
Yeah.
You indeed.
Desperately.
So, where are we off to this morning?
I guess that's the question, right? So, to navigate, you nominate one of you as the Pathfinder, which I'm willing to bet it's going to be Hugo.
Yeah. Most likely.
Most likely, yeah.
Then the way we'll do it is, since technically you don't know where you're at, and the map provided isn't necessarily an item you guys have, it's just kind of like your general mental knowledge. It's so you couldn't like spread it out and just be like, yeah, I think we're here. You know, the way we're going to do it is I'd like you just to pick a cardinal direction that you want to travel. And then we're going to roll the navigation roll. I think it's bushcraft. Yeah, bushcraft. So player characters who follow a road or a clear path are not at risk of getting lost. But such luxuries are rarely available. When out in the wilderness, navigation is more difficult. When traveling through pathless terrain, the player characters must appoint a pathfinder who leads the way for the group. This person makes a bushcraft roll every shift to find their way. If the pathfinders have no map, the roll gets a bane. A spy glass gives a boon. On a failure, there's a mishap table that we roll on, blah, 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 blah.
Well, Corin, what do you think about us going that way? I'm a point towards south. If we can find our way to water some way, we could definitely figure out a way or where we're at. Unless we run across the lake, of course.
Well, now I thought that the plan was to go to Beleria.
Beleria is the
humans.
The humans.
Yeah, I thought the plan was to go to Beleria.
It is. You want to point the direction of which way that is?
I'll lick my finger and hold it up in the air.
Are you asking to make a roll?
Yeah.
All right. Give me a bushcraft roll.
Oh, with a dragon!
Holy shit. Definitely west.
Yeah, and I'll look over and I'll be like, well, according to the wind, that way's west.
Yes. With a one, south would take you back into the Domini region, and then you would just have to turn back around and come back this way, most likely.
Okay.
Yeah, see, if we head in the direction that you were pointing, well... I think... one sec. Oh, well, if we head in the direction that you were pointing, we just have to come back up this way anyways.
Wait, hang on. Which direction did we come on the wagons?
You were headed north, northwest.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah, you're correct, Corin. Sorry. I must have got too much sleep last night. I was pretty exhausted. You're correct. Let's go that direction.
Yeah, start walking on in that direction.
Yeah.
We still need to do the Pathfinder role for the navigation as well.
Yeah, I can do that.
Come on, I got a dragon.
Nah,
come on.
Do you want to be the Pathfinder?
No. Maybe next. Maybe after
he's like,
a safe rest now.
He's like, I got one lucky roll in me. I'm not changing that again.
Yeah. And Therian is just sitting back, his eyes kind of darting back and forth between the two of them, like waiting for one of them to take charge.
Yeah, it's like, we should go that way. No, this way.
And he just shouts out to him. Well, it has to be one of you. I don't know my way around land. Water's another story, but this is not my territory.
Okay. Right.
Are we nominating you, Pathfinder?
Yes, we'll go west.
All right. You don't have a map. I'm assuming you don't have a spyglass, do you?
No.
All right. Give me a Pathfinder roll with a bane.
So,
good old fashioned bushcraft.
I got a dragon, can I at least help him?
I mean, you helped with the direction.
I will, for this instance, say that that counts as a benefit from the dragon.
Yeah, like I knew the general direction, so it'll help him. Okay, okay.
So I get a boon for assistance.
Correct? Yeah, so you get a boon, so it evens out to a flat roll.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, you mean I get 25 boons? Because that's apparently what it goes up to. No.
Yeah, they can keep stacking. You know, you just get the one. But
oh, flat roll. Fuck, I clicked the wrong button.
Yeah, you rolled that with a boon.
So
you shouldn't be exhausted anymore.
I'm not. I got disheartened because
it's just the one that had auto selected. Got it. Do you want to push this roll?
I do want to push the roll. I was disheartened because a halfling who doesn't know anything about the woods just showed me the direction.
All right. Push it.
Success.
All right. Yeah, after, like, you guys maybe head out and there's, like, this brief moment of, like, you kind of, like, loop back and you're like, oh, shit, there's the ruins again. But you... You kind of like guide everybody where they don't see it and recognize it as the same place.
Hugo is definitely, his ego is definitely bruised because he was just told by somebody who doesn't know the woods very well, like which way to go, and he was wrong. So his ego is a little bruised.
To be fair, though, I've spent my entire life literally on the move.
Yeah,
traveling.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't feel too bad.
Cool. So, as you travel through the forest, ever westward, the ground beneath you slowly starts becoming softer. You go from thick roots and like chunks of ruin and rock to finding yourself dodging like puddles and sliding down like these big patches of mud. The ground gets flatter and the trees start to thin out as the ground is just more and more puddles and muddier. You know, your feet are starting to do that suction thing every now and then as you get stuck in a puddle. And eventually, as the trees start to thin, you come to like the edge of the woods line, and spanning out in front of you guys, as far as you can see in both directions and ahead of you, is this massive marsh full of dead trees, you know, like really tall grass. There's a little bit of like film built up on the water because it's all stagnant, and you're at the edge of this kind of this giant marsh, and that's kind of where that was one shift's worth of navigation, putting you right at the very edge of this marshland.
One shift, so it's about noon-ish now.
Yeah, roughly.
Okay. And it goes as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, like left and right and straight ahead of you. It's kind of just swampy marshland in all directions.
Okay. Hugo's going to walk forward and test how deep it is.
Like you specifically, like you want to step into the water?
Yes.
Yeah, you kind of step down into it, and the moment you do, like your feet, like you step in, it's only like knee deep, and then your feet in the like go into the mud, and they you can feel them like start to like sink in, and you sink down like another couple inches, and you have like to pull hard to get your foot out of the mud that it sank into down at the bottom.
Okay. Definitely gonna get back out of it. So there's clear areas of water, and then like areas.
Yeah, there's you could like weave your way from small landmass to small landmass for sure.
Okay, but it's definitely gonna be a slow travel because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could consider the terrain difficult, I would think.
Yeah, gonna navigate through to try to stay closer to the trees where the land is not completely sunk down yet. How's Corin handling this? This is probably pretty deep for him.
Yeah, how deep did it go on you?
His knees, and then maybe a couple more inches as he sunk into the mud.
Oh yeah, I'd be drowning.
It'd be like waist high for you.
Yeah, I'm definitely not liking it very much. But yeah, I trust in you to pick a proper path.
Yeah, gonna go with the most solid direction, so. I am going to use this 10-foot of hemp rope I have, and I'm going to make a waist belt for Corin, and I'm going to tie it to myself. So if he does get sunk down in the mud, I can easily just pull him out. Because I do have 10 meters of hemp rope.
So you like tie yourselves together?
Yeah, more or less. I know Therian will be fine. You know, he's a human. He's not halfling size.
He's an elf.
Oh, yeah, he's an elf.
I'm an elf.
So, definitely doing that.
All right. So, let's have our... Do you want to be the Pathfinder again, or do you want to... Yeah. Nominate Corin?
No. I got it this time. Hugo's definitely a little hurt by that, but yeah, no, he's gonna do this. He's gonna definitely take a moment though to try to see a path farther off in the distance.
It's a bit easier to see where you're going here because it's not like thick forest. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's more open so you can see further around.
Yeah, but I want to look like off in the horizon to make sure like I'm not leading into more, like see if I can find a direction out of this marsh. So
yeah, give me a Pathfinder, give me a bushcraft roll with Bane.
Man, guys, it's difficult to see all the way down there.
Sun's well, bright.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I can probably barely see over this grass.
Yeah, you're having a struggle bus. Yeah. It's either waist-deep water or, like, chin-high grass.
I'm just, every now and again, I just kind of hop up to look over the grass.
Corin, do you have anything that would help with this? Like, does that map help us with anything?
You guys don't have a map.
I don't have a map, man.
Oh, we had a map thing, didn't we?
Nope.
No. The map, you have a map. Mentally as players, but you don't. Oh, yeah, the map is
we
not
don't have an actual map.
An item, yeah.
Gotcha. All right, well, if we got nothing to help, I'm going to bushcraft it up, I guess.
All right, give me a bushcraft for the Bane.
I failed.
Do you want to push?
No.
Okay. Can you roll... Can you roll a d20 for me?
Ooh. A fucking dragon. That's what I'm talking about.
So the march continues, trudging through this marsh. And it's you're not making great time. your feet, you're constantly getting stuck. There's, you're having to backtrack and go around these big pools of water. There's a moment where you see some very large amphibian creatures that you maybe slowly back away from. You know, kind of find a new route.
Okay.
It takes, you know what I mean? You're taking your time to not get, you know what I mean? To just get through this marsh. And it takes, like I said, it takes about a shift. And the sun is starting to set over the small mountain range in the far, far distance. And as you're moving through, there's a moment where, you know, you guys take a step, and one of you, as you take your next step, your foot finds like a plank of wood, and not just like a downed tree, but like a platform,
like something built here.
Yeah, and as you step onto it, you know, all three of you kind of like, you're like, oh shit, this is not like a bridge almost, and you step onto it, and you're like, ah, oh, yes. From your left and your right, immediately these improvised, like, camouflaged hatches lift up, and immediately from inside the hatches, four, two on each side, bows drawn on you.
Hugo's gonna freeze.
Okay. As you look around you, left and right, these two on each side, bows drawn. They're under these, like basically like duck hunting blinds, you know, like they're hatches covered with brush that are lifted up on one side for these, for people to like poke out at you. And one of them steps forward out of the cover, bow still drawn. And this is our first time, I guess, seeing a mallard. They, I guess probably Therion, right? You've encountered mallards before, but the other ones probably haven't, have you?
No, definitely not.
I would say no, yeah. Korn is like beside himself right now.
Mallards are probably a little shorter than a halfling. And they are what you would expect. They're feathered, humanoid, duck people. Big bill. You know, a big, typically, I wouldn't say bright colors, but they have unique colors. Green. Sometimes they're yellow. They're various colors. And he steps forward with the bow out. Looks at the three of you. Who are you?
I've never met a mallard before. Would I know anything about them?
You know they exist. They're not like,
I know that like they're not like evil people.
Nah. Okay, they're just duck people. Yeah. You've just never seen one.
Yeah.
Like you're probably like, holy shit, this guy's a duck.
Yeah, so I say, like, I'm beside myself right now. I'm so excited.
Hello, I'm Hugo. My hand's still raised.
Yeah. Looks at the other two of you.
Yes, hello. My name's Corin. What's your name?
And I'll just start walking towards him with my hand out.
Don't move.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I've just never met one of your fine people before.
And I kind of give a bow of some sort, you know, nothing too crazy, but a little downward thrust of my head and kind of maybe a little wave as well. And Therion Tidewalker of House Illance.
He lingers ever so slightly on Thurian. Your name sounds familiar. I can't place it. What are you guys doing out here? There's nothing that way. Where do you come from?
Oh, I see. We were captured. But we escaped.
Captured by what?
Humans.
How can I believe you?
Well, why else would the three of us be traveling through like this? Look, we have nothing on us.
And you can see, like, kind of like, now that you guys have had the moment to take it in, if you continued forward past where you've gotten stopped, there is a, for lack of better terms, city, all built in these, like, trenched out sections of the swamp. So, like, from afar, you see completely over the top of it. But now that you're close to it, you can see that there's, like, they've dug it out and put planks, like, down and cut, and you know what I mean? And made these trenches. And, like, it's a full, like, woven city ahead of you. But nothing extends above, like, the grass level, so it couldn't be seen from afar. And he says, I want to trust you. Turn out your pockets and let me see what you have. Maybe we'll let you enter. You look a little worse for wear. But we have to be very cautious.
Understandable. I'm gonna put my bag down and open it up. Well, not my bag, but all my stuff wrapped up.
Yeah, you can just carry all your shit, like, in pockets. Yeah.
I just, all my rations and my fishing pole and my flint and tinder just wrapped inside my sleeping fur. And that's about it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I show all of my stuff. I hold out my medallion as well, but, like, kind of tensely, like, really protective of it, but making it known that there's that object as well.
Do you want to, I know you described it slightly, do you want to, is there anything, like, engraved on it, or, like, markings on it of any kind, or?
Yeah, there's a sigil on it that is not really well known to any house or anybody kind of nearby. It's kind of a family crest of sorts, and, you know, the Tidewalker family, and then it's you know, gold, and kind of has like, I guess, almost like wispy edges, and in the center of it is a blue pearl.
Yeah, he, you know, he goes through. Did you put the books down as well, Corin?
Yeah. I'm not a sneaky boy, so.
Yeah, he kind of releases the bow a bit. The other three are still trained on you guys as well, but he, you know, he releases it, pulls back a little. Starts kind of, he's not, like, mega inspecting, you know, he's just kind of looking through, making sure that, like, you don't have anything crazy, right? Gets to the books. He looks at you and says, these look important.
Oh, those things. Oh, yeah, we found them. Well, the one of them. The one of them's mine, the other one I found.
There's a lot of water out here. It could get ruined. Best be careful.
Oh, yeah, that's the plan.
They don't seem to have waterproofing. The leathers are old. The bindings, too.
Yeah, they're in a sad state of affairs, to be sure.
Lucky for you, then.
Well, why did you say that?
And this is, as he's talking, he's looking through Therian stuff. He lingers, as he's like, lucky for you, then, he's kind of looking at the medallion. He doesn't take it from you, but he inspects it. A little longer. Nods and says, come. Welcome to Puddleholm. I'll show you. And he gestures for you guys, like, pick up your stuff.
Yeah, gonna grab my stuff and follow.
Then,
as we're walking, I pester him with 1,000 questions.
So, like, he turns and, like, he hops down into this trench. And he looks back, he says, name's Beakley. This is Puddleholm. We have a few trades here, but one of our best is waterproofing, specifically leathers. And as he says it, he kind of gestures to the sides. And you can see, like, the trenching it's been dug out and wood has been, you know, like, filled in to hold the form of the trench. But there is, like, a very tight, like, tarping of leathers that have been sewn together along all the edges that are, like, keeping back the muck and the water. And it's, like, it's dry down in here.
This is impressive. Yes?
Therian, can I get a... I need a roll from Therian. Can I get a... I gotta peruse the skills real quick.
Technically, these duck people would be considered animals, wouldn't they?
No, they're humanoid. None of the things you can play are animals.
Okay.
Give me a... Can I get a seamanship roll from you, Therian?
Yeah, for sure.
Ooh, a failure with a 19. Do you want to push it?
I do.
There's something nagging the back of your mind about this whole scenario.
Oh,
wow. Now, I just want to clarify. Did you want to pick exhausted as your stat?
I did.
Okay.
I mean, he makes sense. He didn't get much sleep, so he's exhausted.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah, you're tired. And that's probably why it's so hard for you to, like, recall this. And once he starts talking about it, it ticks. You've heard of Puddleholm. You've never been here, but there is one primary inlet from, like, other than, like, leaving... like Hargate and traveling across the bay to Allure, there's only one other inlet in the bay. And that goes into basically like a swampy marsh area. There's no way you could sail your boat up it, but you have seen small like canoe craft come out of it. But he's showing you guys like, you know, through these very narrow tunnels. They're smaller. He's smaller than Corin, so their living space isn't huge, but it's big enough for them, right? And he's showing you from place to place, and you guys get to this kind of like a tannery, and they have these massive like leathers of some sort, you know, some skinned leather of some scaly creature up on all these racks. And he's like, this is where we make the waterproofing. If you're interested in buying some, if we don't get many customers through here, we typically sell afar.
Oh, well, I'm not exactly flush with the coin, if you know. How much would it cost for a book like mine?
Which book? Yours, specifically, or the other one?
Well, mine specifically first.
Okay.
And then I'll see what it costs. Probably he looks more at than it. I have.
He looks and says, well, to be honest, I don't want to lie to you. Our supply is dwindling. We've had to raise prices, and that's probably not what you want to hear.
Oh, no. Roughly, how much?
He says, well, we could do a book for 2 silver.
Oh. Well, that's about half of what I have. I don't know if it's that important.
Says, I didn't look, but I would hate for these things you keep to get ruined in the marsh. It's quite dangerous.
Is there perhaps some other way we could, come upon paying you?
He looks at you. Are you asking for work?
Well, I can't speak for the others, but if you have an idea, perhaps we could discuss it.
He looks at the other two of you. Are you looking for work as well?
I am an effective hunter. I could assist.
Personally, I'm not very keen on trying to find work. I'm not shy on coin myself. I'd be happy to contribute 2 silver to protect this tome. I'm far more concerned with trying to locate my ship.
Well, tell me. Go.
Okay. Well, to be honest, is it likely you'll even find your ship?
Let me clarify on that, too. I'm just trying to recall. The ship was gone, and whether it's destroyed or just in the hands of somebody else is up in the air at this point.
Correct? Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of decided you got blindsided and just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you got washed ashore. Someone got you a good slug and you got knocked out and fell in the water and you woke up on the beach and your boat wasn't around. So whether it was like, what happened to it after that, unknown. But it wasn't like on the river bed floor right by where you were, so.
Right. I wouldn't say that I'm optimistic. However, I'm not giving up hope. That's been my home for many years.
Oh, well, I mean, if you're willing to put forward the coin, I'll accept it. We are a group, after all.
I'll pull out 2 silver coins and hand them to the mallard.
And then I'll pull out the other book and just kind of look at it sullenly and speak quietly but loud enough that Therion hears.
Oh, it'd be such a shame if this one were to get destroyed as well.
To be clear, which one was Therion paying for?
His
book, right?
Okay.
Yeah. That was the first one I would have brought up.
Okay, but I was making sure because I know...
Yeah.
I know Therion's had a little disdain for your book, so I wasn't sure if that's the one the offer was for.
Yeah, so...
At this point, you know, Therion's still carrying some guilt about, you know, the lost,
lost
calligraphy supplies. Yeah, so this is his attempt to kind of make amends for that. So Therion rolls his eyes, you know, at the less than subtle comment from Corin there, and reaches into his pocket to pull out two more Two more silver. Four silver ought to do it for both books, right?
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and he turns and says, like, calls to one of the people that are, like, working the you know, like, that tannery. Featherwick, come here! And this mallard, in like, all, like, this dirty, like, muddy apron, and, like, there's, like, burn marks on it, and, like, just, there's some blood all over. Like, it's clearly workers' clothes. He says, Featherwick, do we have enough mosh wrap for two books? Oh, for full price? He says, yes, they're paying the new price. They seem fine people. And he looks around, he goes, I can do two books. And he looks to whoever's got the books and holds out a hand.
Yeah, hand him books.
And he looks at the first, yours. It's like an average book, right? Your
yeah, journal. Yeah, it's just a normal journal.
Yeah. And then he looks at the second one, and you see like a little bit of like, well, this is an odd book. He doesn't like open them up and flip through them, but he's like, it'll take me a couple hours. Is that fine?
I kind of look over at Therian.
I look over to Featherwick, nod.
It's getting close to sunset, right? Like, as sun was setting as you guys got caught. This is your second shift of travel. He says, are you staying the night in Puddleholm?
Oh, well, I do believe if that's an option, yes.
Would you happen, looking around nervously and knowing the answer, would you happen to have somewhere to sleep outside?
The whole place is outside. Like, there's not a roof above anything.
Outside of built structures is what...
Oh, he, like, gestures at the marsh around. He says, feel free to sleep in the swamp, if that's what you're asking. Looking around, there are no trees big enough to sleep in. Like, every yeah. tree is just, like, dead and broken.
Yeah. Hugo's definitely in, like... He's unenthused about this. Like, he knows he's about to get a crappy night's sleep.
Yeah, but to be fair, it's not the same as, like, a inn, necessarily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely all... Like, unless you want to sleep out in the grass.
No, not in the water, no. I mean, Hugo's fine with not sleeping in trees occasionally, but he cannot sleep inside man-made structures or structures with a roof kind of thing.
Yeah. So, you hand the books over, and Featherwick takes them. He says, if you're staying the night, pick them up in the morning. It'll be easiest.
All right, then. We'll come back in the morning.
And then, you know, Beakley is like, so, I hate to ask, but you said you're good at hunting. And he's looking at Hugo.
I did. So something you need?
Yes. Would you mind coming with me? Speak with the town elders. We have sort of an issue they may want to make an offer to you on.
Yeah, just let me get my stuff settled and I will come with you.
Yeah. I can... Here, we'll pass by the blinds on the way. I can show you where you can sleep.
That'll work.
And he looks at the other two of you like, are you going to come?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, follow me. And he leads you guys through like this kind of maze almost of trenches. And you pass by this area that's got a lot of like hammocks like strung across the trenches in various like down these long rows. It's not like, you know, population of this town's maybe like 100, maybe. So there's not like a ton of these, but there's a good amount of hammocks through here. And he points to like one row that's maybe a little worse for wear than the others. Those are for guests. We don't get them often, but if you want to sleep there, you can.
Oh, those look like fine accommodations.
It's not a tree, but it's better than on the ground.
And they're just at the right height for me to crawl into. Perfect.
Yeah, they're almost too short.
As we're walking, I'll kind of turn to or stand beside Therian and just kind of say to him, it's like, oh, Therian, you must be so thrilled right now to be able to contribute to the greater whole. Oh, it must be so freeing.
Well, I have to admit, it does feel a little freeing to pay you back for the loss of your writing tools.
Oh, yes, it was a great loss, but in the end, they were just things. It's like, we survived, that's what's important.
I can't disagree with you there. However, finding my ship is still a very important thing to me.
In the meanwhile, Hugo is taking all of his stuff off and taking his armor off because he's had this on all day in this mucky water. So there's probably like, it was probably like mud and water between him and the leathers. So
oh yeah, it's gross. It's gross. Your fur is very gross.
Yeah.
Are you leaving your stuff here at the beds?
Yeah. I'm going to leave everything except for the fang that hangs around my neck. And maybe a knife on my waist because I still don't trust these people. These ducks. I mean, they don't look very threatening. They're tiny.
The only weapons you've seen are the bows at the entrance, and maybe like the tannery had knives, but not like fighting knives.
Yeah. So yeah,
you guys follow, you know, further past the blinds, and you come to this big pond, I guess you could say. It's like down in the trench, but then dug out this massive circular pond down in the trenches. And you're not sure if it was like manually filled or like groundwater rose up to fill it or what, but it's a big pond in the center of this trench. And in the middle, there's a raised platforms with a couple like chairs on it. And there are three mallards sitting on these three chairs. And you can see they're pretty old. It's one of them, his eyes are all white. Their feathers are gray. They wear these heavy kind of almost like golden colored robes that match a lot of like the dead grass in the area. While it looks like to be for warmth, it's also very camouflagey. And they're sitting on these chairs in the center of this pond, talking amongst themselves as you approach. And Beakley, as he gets closer, he and they look up. Beakley, Sorry, elders, but we have some travelers coming through. They may prove useful for the problem we have. This one claims to have hunting experience. Being what he is, I wouldn't doubt him. The other two, well, this one has hunting experience.
They are great companions. They could help me very much. I'm Hugo, by the way.
The one in the middle stands up, and he's, you can tell he's old. Like, it takes him a minute to stand up, and he's got this, like, walking stick, and he stands up on the platform.
What brings you to Puddleholm?
Well, we got lost, and our new friend Beakley here, kind of, after checking us out, showed us the way. We would have surely had a rough time in the waters ahead, but he helped us find your quaint village.
Where do you plan on going from here? Well, where does your path take you?
Our goal is to head back to, what was it called, Therian? Hardgate?
Well, we're trying to head back.
I think you guys have like several potential. I don't know if you've locked in anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
Beleria.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Beleria. We gotta get to Beleria, and then we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah. So, there you go, Beleria.
That's a long way. You'll have to pass through the marsh. And then the mountains. Do you want work?
Yes, I'm here to offer my assistance for anything that you may need. We are a little short on supplies, you would say.
We have supplies, but not much coin. We can pay in other ways. First, I will tell you. There is a monster. Infested creature from the Domini Forest has made its way into our marsh. It's pushed a small group of goblins that lived in the north out into our hunting grounds. The cattail locations are too dangerous with goblins. And it's also eating the marsh rafts we use to make our waterproof leathers. All around, it's affecting our ecosystem.
What monster? Do you know what it might be called, or what it looks like?
We have one hunter in town who's claimed to see it.
And he looks at Beakley, he's like,
Beakley, fetch Quackinson.
And he, like, nods and runs off.
We don't know the creature's name.
While we're waiting, tell me the history of your village. There's not very many of you here.
It's a solitary place. We prefer to keep it that way. Not much here in terms of history. Just our people trying to survive. Our waterproof weather's...
Waterproof leathers?
Waterproof leathers fetch good money afar, but trade is hard because of the marsh.
That's understandable.
Alas, it is the only place the marsh wraps breed, and thus the only place to get the leather.
And Therian's gonna kind of chime in real quick, and you know, looking towards towards Corrin, and Hugo's gonna kind of say, "In my travels, I've seen plenty of people leave this place. Not many go in."
I think Therian would also know, like, of the waterproof leathers, and that it's, like, it's really good for, like, sails and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, tarping and stuff for ships. Like, it's a good utility material.
Gotcha. Cool.
And eventually, as you guys are talking, Beakley shows back up. And there's this. He's missing, like, an eye. He's got an eye patch on. And he's wearing leather, like, armor. But it looks a little different than yours. It looks to be made of the waterproofing leather that they, you know, that they make here. And like I say, he's missing an eye. He's got a spear. And he comes running up. "Oi. I'm here. What do you want?"
The elders here tell me of a monster that you're having problems with. I was curious. Do you might have a description or a name of what you might call it?
"I've seen it once. Lithe creature. All black. Massive claws on its front feet." "It's had something growing on it. It's hard to explain. Maybe a fungus of some sort. I couldn't get close enough."
So, can I use beast lore?
You could, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do it as a group? As in, do you want to... Robert's fishing for the same thing, I think. So, one of you... Yeah, do you want to, like, do it as a group and somebody take a boon?
So, I was going to assist Corrin
no
on this.
Thing. Yeah.
As far as the boon thing.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
But I was going to, you know... Corrin, it sounds kind of like... this creature, and, like, I don't know a name at the current moment.
It sounds like he's talking about, like, a leopard, essentially, yeah. But
something growing on it is,
yeah, yeah, but you've never heard of that yet.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'll roll first, I guess, and then that'll determine my response. So, I get a boon then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, successful.
Success, yeah. Yes, so there's probably not a lot of these in the Fields of Gold. Maybe on the far, like, eastern sides, close to, like, the edge of... like the Domini area, you know what I mean? Like towards the, like, the woods areas of the far eastern side of the Fields of Gold.
Yeah.
You probably don't encounter these out in the open plains, but you would have had, like, the rumors of, like, that's why you don't go all the way to the edge, right? Because there are these big, lithe, very quick feline creatures with massive claws that kind of live in those forests. Now, I don't think you would know, you would have never heard anything about, like, fungus growing on them.
Yeah, yeah. Would I know their name?
They're probably, like, as a, like,
Or would I just know them as like a big panther?
Yeah, like probably like panther, or you know, like maybe more like a feline. Maybe panther's not like the number. You know what I mean? Like just like a generic cat, like
big cat
term. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what I would know about them, basically.
Yeah. But you don't mark just successful rolls for leveling up. It's only.
Only dragons and beings.
Only dragons and
yeah, demons. And it'll automatically do it for you.
Yep. Okay. Just clarifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've heard tale of very large feline, leopard type creatures. Now, to be fair, leopards are probably a real thing. These are a little different than a leopard. It's not like just normal cat claws. It's like big. Like big claws on the front, you know what I mean? It's like a leopard alpha kind of thing.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, it's like you could even, you know, as your answer could be like, yeah, it's like a leopard but bigger.
Okay. Then yeah, then I'd be like, oh yeah, it sounds like something we used to have east in the fields of gold near Domini. We just called them the big cats.
Yes, that's, yeah, okay.
I like that. I would love to think of Hugo just like going, why did I ask?
Yeah. that's why I played it like that. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. Like, big is relative to you, I guess.
Well, you know, they're bigger than normal cats.
I've seen some big cats.
Well, these are probably bigger. Not sure about the mushroom stuff though. Maybe that's just a swamp thing.
That does sound strange.
Well, you do know that there is like a plague, right, in the Domini Forest. That's like one of the big things going on with it. Why whatever's in there is way the fuck over here, you don't know.
Yeah, so we have no problem with helping your people with this problem. For exchange of goods, I guess we could say, or supplies, because we are in need of some supplies.
I think it's more of a, as we help them, we become a part of their community, and then, you know, they'll help us. That's how I like to think of it.
We have many things we could help you with. Food, a place to stay. That, consider that given freely.
We can work the details out after.
Yeah.
After everything's done, don't strain yourself. Because he definitely looks like he's in...
He's like... He's like, he wants to pay you, but they're like... I mean, this is like a shitty poor fishing village equivalent. Yeah, they're like, what can we part with that we don't need absolutely?
Yep. What they need is to get rid of this problem.
Yeah.
So they can keep making money again. Yeah, we can definitely assist with that. If, your fellow Quackerson can... guide us?
Yeah, I can guide you. It's about a half day's travel north. Probably want to go in the morning.
Yes, definitely. Definitely want to go in the morning.
Meet me on the outskirts. Yeah.
Go for it. I think also, to be fair, perhaps we should ask Therion's opinion.
I guess you're correct there, Corin.
How kind of you to consider me.
Well, all opinions matter.
I appreciate that notion. I will say that while I am not looking for any work, and I don't really relish the thought of hunting some bloodthirsty demon, or... plagued creature, whatever you might call it.
A big cat.
if there's even the slightest possibility that it will lead me closer to Lance, or possibly finding a trail towards locating my ship, I'll come along.
Well, yeah, because we probably won't make it very far if we're on our own.
Very well. You have my assistance.
That's wonderful.
I'm going to turn and thank you, elders. And then going to start walking away.
Yeah, back towards like the...
Yeah. And camps. Then I'm going to... Quackerson, where should we meet you in the morning?
North side of town. Just on the outskirts. You'll see me.
I apologize. This is the first time I've seen your people. You all look kind of alike to me. So, what would you be carrying?
I'll probably look just like this. And he's got like a spear in one hand, and like he's like, I'm also the only one with one eye. So
that's literally gonna. That's what I was gonna. I'll just like pull on his sleeve and be like, he's only got like, one eye.
He's like, I don't have very good manners, but I would say that was kind of racist, but. Not my problem.
I apologize, but I've never seen your people before. I'm a do that little tail tuck and head back to the hammock.
And I'll look over at the mallards, and I apologize for my friend's ignorance.
It's fine. We don't get a lot of guests, and it's probably understandable, especially for a wolfkin.
I'll give a little nod, and I'll kind of wander the same direction as Hugo.
Is it close enough time to go to bed, or no?
You could. I mean, it's so I mean, it's
early?
The sun is setting. Okay. That doesn't mean you have to go to bed, but yeah. You're also super sleep deprived.
Yeah, I know. But I'm also surrounded by new stuff.
Fair. Yeah. Do you head back as well?
No.
Where do you go?
I find a group of them that are sitting or something. If they're around a fire or whatever they do to relax.
Yeah, there is a... So they actually end up in... There's like a central plaza type. I don't want to call it a plaza. Like a central common circle of the whole Puddle Home. And that's where most of them end up. There's not a whole lot of fires that happen.
Yeah, I just meant more of like a central gathering place.
Yeah, there's like a, I guess I'll call it the plaza, like a central area where most of them end up towards the end of the day.
Yeah, I would head there.
Yeah. You just wander around through them? Are you looking for any specific mallard?
No, I'm... Well, two things, basically, of what I want to do here is, one, I find if I can get some ink and quill, I guess, I would assume is what I'd
write. Writing. Yeah, writing utensils.
Something to actually write in my journal. And then I would try to convince them to tell me stories of their people, any legends or myths they might have, fireside tales, things like that.
Yeah, so you mingle among them. There's probably not ink here. I think you could get a quill, as they are mostly feathered folk here. So
that's true.
I don't think a quill would be potentially hard to get, though. And you could even, like, if you want, like, try to make a stealth roll and pluck one, right?
I would just ask.
But yeah, I don't think they have ink here. Not
is
a lot
ink
of
the only thing you can write with.
Other than, I guess, like, blood?
A bloody finger? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's okay then.
Or like, it's the most common, easily used thing to write with. I'm sure there are other liquids that you could write with. You don't see a lot of, there's not a lot of writing here. Not a lot of books or paper here. Because it's all damp and always wet.
Okay. Fair enough. Then I would just try to still hear some stories. Can't write them down yet, but
let's see. Give me let's make a roll. Give me like
Myths and Legends.
Yeah, but let's see. Does it ask you what stat you want to use when you roll?
No, it just says int.
Dang.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you trying to roll?
I want you to give me a charisma based roll. So
I have persuasion too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, give me like persuasion to like, I just want to see like how well you fit in and what kind of
food. I'll push it.
Push it real good.
Suited. Oh, I don't know if exhausted would be the correct.
I mean,
one, but
you haven't slept in a day. That makes sense.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm pushing myself to stay awake to hear news.
Yeah.
I'll take that one.
I mean, you probably like go from group to group, right? And like they're like, you're trying to find anything, and like you get some stories, and they like tell you these stories of like, oh, one time I was hunting and I lost my shoe in the mud. Like, it's like the most boring shit you've ever heard. And you spend like all night and you're like, this sucks. And then I think probably like the last group you go to, or like you maybe even you overhear it, and it's not like something they're directly telling you.
Okay.
You hear this. You overhear the story about how one of the hunting parties recently traveled to Loth, a nearby town, and you don't catch the amount of days it's been, but he says recently. And when he got there, the city was completely abandoned. Not a single person there. And as he got closer, he was suddenly able to see his breath hanging on the air. And he essentially chickened out. You know, he's like, and I just knew from that moment forward, I wasn't taking another step closer to that city. And he's like, I turned around and I moved as fast as I could all the way back to Puddleholm. Spent the whole night moving through the marsh. Almost got caught by two goblin parties.
Hey, that's a good one. After that, I would just head back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What up? So, Therion and Hugo, you've moved back. This is, Corrin's been gone doing who knows what for who knows how long. What is Hugo and Therion doing?
Therion is prepping to turn in for an early night and try to catch up on some rest.
God damn it, I'm going to get some sleep.
He's very, very upset. He's used to sleeping under the stars. It's just he can't settle in right now. They've been through kind of a lot. So yeah, he's going to try and catch up.
This might be probably the closest Therion gets to like a similar sleeping situation in a long time, right? Like a hammock close to water, maybe not a boat on water, but you know what I mean.
Definitely. The sounds of water nearby, definitely a soothing ambiance for him as well.
Yeah. So those of you sleeping in a hammock, you don't have to make a roll. You get a good night's sleep.
Before we sleep.
Yeah.
If I have to roll for something, that's fine. I would like to stay awake longer than Therion
until
he's asleep.
Okay. I mean, if Therion's turning in, right, and you don't have, and Therion doesn't have anything he wants to do, then yeah, he's probably asleep when Corrin gets back. Is there anything Therion's wanting to do? Or is he turning
in? Oh yeah, he's out.
Okay, then yeah, then he would be sleeping when you got back.
Okay, so what I'd like to do is I'd like to try to go up to his hammock and lightly like push it back and forth while trying to make the sounds of water.
give me a performance roll.
Okay. Yeah, I did it.
Oh yeah. This is the it probably you get back and there's maybe a little fitfulness in his sleep, and you gently rock him fully into a deep sleep.
Yeah. Once I think he's like resting better, then I'll go to my own hammock.
All right, so do you want to look around and do some shopping and see what you can find?
Yes, or... I would like to. Because
so they're not gonna have studded leather. They only have base leather.
Yeah,
like you have. They sell it made out of the waterproofing though, instead of whatever yours is made of.
So basic leather.
It's basic leather, but it's like it's water resistant.
Yeah. Definitely want to try to see if I could track down like one of those. Because I assume they're using short bows because they're mallards.
I mean, there's not a size rating for a bow.
No, you're correct, but it's probably more common than using short bows for their sizes anyways. But yes, I am looking for trying to see if I can find a short bow and maybe a couple of leathers or just one if that's all I got to offer.
Leather as in just base leather? Just like...
Yeah.
Or armor?
Armor.
Oh, okay. So, looking around, they don't actually have shops, right? Because, like, people don't come through here.
Yeah.
You can find, like, crafting stations that are, like, making things. Or, like, for, like, weapons, you'd maybe have to go to, like the hunter's, like, hut and maybe see if they can part ways with something. Looking through town, they don't have any... normal leather. Because the only thing they make here is the waterproof leather.
Yeah, so they probably have like waterproofing leather armor.
Maybe? Yeah, so they would have what is it just called? Leather armor, but it has an effect of being waterproof. So it'd be the same as the thing you have, but it has a waterproof, like a water resistant effect to it that you would add in the notes section.
Okay, yeah, that's I'm gonna look around. I'm definitely gonna visit the hunter's shack, I guess.
Yeah.
Definitely want to look for more of a short bow, something smaller, more agile than a long bow. Definitely gonna try to see if they can do some barter options, like trading in a long bow that's worth more. I know they don't get a lot of people to come through and buy stuff.
But well, as you've stated, they probably don't really use longbows. So playing off of your idea, they may not value a longbow as highly, but it's worth a try.
Yeah. I mean, if I take a pure loss on it, it's perfectly understandable, but I want to trade it for more of stuff that we can use.
You have a longbow?
I do have a longbow.
You start with it. Okay. Yeah, you go by the hunter's hut. Right, like the hunter's, like, I guess, I don't know, station on the edge of town. This is like as Corrin is out gathering stories and Therion's turning in. And there's one person there, and he's like not packing up, but he's finishing cleaning up and like putting everything on its racks and like putting things away as you approach.
Hello there. Are you open? Can we talk about some trade?
We can talk, yeah. I'm not selling anything, unfortunately, but what do you got to trade?
Well, I don't have any money to offer either way, but I have this, and I'm going to take it off my back, this bow that I acquired a while back, and I can't use it as well as I would like. It's not as
it's like as big as him.
Yeah. Now, I understand, like, being a mallard, you can't really use this, but it's value for trade to the outside, I guess, is significantly, it's worth quite a bit. I'm not looking to get money or anything off of it. I need some equipment for my team so we can survive. We've lost most of our stuff.
Let me see. You hand it over to him?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What all are you looking for?
Well, I understand you guys don't have a lot, but I am looking for maybe a smaller bow, a shorter bow, something I can use that's more agile. And I wouldn't argue against a couple of your guys' fantastic waterproof leathers. I know you guys make the best waterproofing leather around.
We do charge rather high for the leathers these days. They're hard to come by.
Yeah, it's understandable.
You going to make a bartering roll? Make a bartering roll?
Yeah, and I got to do that with a bane since I have disheartened on.
Yeah, and you're naked.
I am naked.
You don't have them sweet clothes.
Nope.
You're just like a dirty wolf boy.
So it's got disheartened already checked under Bane, so I'm assuming it's already going to add it.
I think it will.
Okay, so then I just click roll. It did.
That's a failure.
That is a failure. I'm not going to push it with my shit luck. And
okay.
Yeah.
He says, I can trade. I'll take the bow. I do have one of these. And he pulls out a short bow and puts it on the rack in front of you.
He looks at the longbow a little bit more. He's like,
I don't know anyone that can use this. It is nice, though.
It's practically brand new.
Yeah. It doesn't do me much good, though. Honestly, even trade, it's the best I can offer.
Yeah, I'll have to do it. I appreciate it, and I'm gonna reach to shake his hand.
Yeah, he shakes your hand. Like, he wasn't being a dick.
Yeah. It's understandable they don't have anything out here. I was expecting a loss either way.
Yeah. And he takes it, and you watch him go to put it on the rack, and it's too big to fit in the rack. And he's like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do with this? Yeah, trade him straight up longbow for shortbow.
Yep. You're going to have to do that on the...
Thing. Yeah, I will, yeah.
Okay. I appreciate it. And then I'm just going to walk out.
All right. Head back to the hammocks.
Yeah.
All right. As you get back, I think probably this is, we find Corn and they're on sleeping.
I'm going to look at the, I'm going to sit down in the hammock and like kind of relax for a minute and then look at the new short bow. Get a feel for it, and then basically drift off at that point.
Yeah. You all three sleep through the night.
Yay.
Do you want to make a roll if Hugo sleeps well? Or
yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I mean, it's your thing, right? It makes the most sense.
Yep. I'm not in a...
I don't think bushcraft makes sense, though.
No. It would be a comfortability kind of thing, so...
Yeah. Let me see.
Maybe... Just constitution, or
you could be, yeah, maybe. Hmm.
The only other thing would maybe be healing?
Healing? That's like a medical, though.
Yeah.
I was thinking, if anything, it could be like his awareness, right? Like, just... because, like, he sleeps in the tree to be alert and aware of, and, like, of his surroundings.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. And his comfortability.
That makes them, like, that's, like, the only thing I can think of. It's a stretch, but awareness, yeah. Like, it's like being able to tell yourself, this is like being in a branch. Like,
yeah. Well, maybe bluffing, then. Bluffing himself. Well,
lying to myself. I'm going to agree with the awareness, because, like, being aware of my surroundings is going to be more of a fit for sleeping.
All right, yeah.
Ooh.
All right. Do you want to play that you don't get a good night's sleep, then?
Yeah, definitely.
Seems
definitely
the most...
don't get
a good night's sleep. Yeah, as opposed to the others who wake up rested. You guys find Hugo just, like, wide-eyed when you wake up. Is he, like, already up and ready?
Mm-hmm. He's ready to get out of here.
So would you say that we slept in a...
That's safe? Where we'll end it, yes. Mm-hmm. Is leveling up.
Nice.
So... right. Let me get the rule book.
What page are we looking at here?
I am trying to find it. I can't remember what it's called. Experience. Is it advance? Is it advancement?
29, page 29, experience advancement marks. I mean, you can just click it from the table of contents too.
Oh, yeah, that works. So, I don't like the way all these questions work, because some of them feel fucking stupid to me. Like, did you participate in the game session?
No.
Did you explore a new location? Did you defeat one or more dangerous adversaries? Did you overcome? So the way I think I'm going to do this is slightly different from the rule book. I think we'll still go with your rolled Demons and Dragons or a level up. And then I think I'll just give you, like, a handful of XP, depending on how difficult the things have been since the last level up. How does that feel?
I'm fine with it.
Like, I'll be like, okay, you get your Demons and Dragons, and then everybody gets 3 points. Because, like, you know, it, depending on, like, how much
what
stuff
happens. Yeah.
Yeah, like, if it's, like, five sessions and you fight, like, a boss, it'd be maybe, like, more. Or, you know what I mean? Or if, like, you guys go... do one session and come back and sleep in town again, then it's going to be like, one or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, seems fine.
So I think you'll get your Demons and Dragons, and then 3 additional points for you guys to pick. Do you need to do anything specifically, or can you just click it in your character sheet?
So for the ones that are already... the Demons and Dragons, you just click the up arrow, and it will roll, and if you pass.
And then the other ones, you can just click to mark it, and then click it again.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you guys want to do this one at a time? Or, I think it's best to do it one at a time.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of rolling, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were getting extra, so I don't know what I want to level up here.
Yeah.
Or attempt to. So you said 3, right?
Yeah, 3.
Okay.
Plus your... ones you have. So, Protherion, like, you have Seamanship, has that arrow next to it in your skills page.
Yep.
You get 3 points. I'm awarding you 3 points to spend on other things. They can't go on the same thing. So you can click the little box next to 3 skills to potentially level them up. The way leveling up works is you'll roll your die, and you have to get over, and it levels up.
Yeah. So Seamanship goes up because...
you succeeded with a critical,
dragon.
I think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Demon.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Dragon. No, you got a 1. It was a dragon.
And, all right.
Then I'm awarding you, like, basically 3 bonus XP points to put where you think fits. And these can go in your weapon skills, too.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at what I'm going to do here.
I'm trying to pick, like, thematically, like, what have I done? I would prefer
you guys do that. You pick something that kind of happened.
Right.
Like, we don't want... It would suck for someone to just, be like, pump all their points into, like, riding, even though you've never rode anything in 5 sessions.
Yeah, I'll speak to why I chose what I chose as well.
Yeah, I think that would be good for listening as well. I would like each of you to at least, like, also, like, be like, these are the things I'm going to level.
Oops, that was an accident.
You're good.
I'm ready, whatever.
Do you want to go first?
Oh, sure.
Do you want to tell me? You want to tell us what you're leveling?
Yeah, so I'll go down. So I already had 2 from rolls, which was Bushcraft and Spot Hidden, both, I believe. Oh, no, one was a dragon, one was a demon. And then I picked, for my 3, I picked Beast Lore. I think because learning about the bear and then the big cat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked languages because of the book, kind of recognizing that language, and then myths and legends for finding a new story.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay. You wanna roll them?
Yes, sir. Failed on beast lore. Oh, increased on bushcraft. Failed on language. Failed on myths and legends. Increased on spot hidden.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, like, having a 14 is...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's pretty high, so it makes sense.
I didn't want to pick any of those that have 14s already, but it was like, I didn't really have a reason to pick anything else.
So. Now, remember, when you get one to 18, you do get a heroic ability.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Robert, are you still thinking?
No, I've got a general idea.
Okay. Do you want to go next?
Yeah, sure. Definitely going to do awareness because, you know, sleeping in trees and he's already having issues here. So we're going to start with that. We're going to do bartering because he's definitely learning. He needs to talk and learn how to negotiate better than giving up something that's twice the gold rate. He already gets bushcrafting from the dragon earlier today and hunting and fishing from the thing yesterday or last
season. Yeah, the fail on the bear, I think.
Yeah, because I was trying to do something with the bear. And then lastly, I'm torn between crafting and beast lore. So crafting, Hugo has learned that he could be useful, like making the sleeping fur for Corin. Like, that's something we could possibly do, you know? I'm also torn between evade, because he did get hit by that bear yesterday, and he feels like he needs to be faster. He did take some scars from that. And then, lastly, is beast lore.
My argument would be beast lore, because you've made an attempt at it.
Yeah. That was one of my things. So I think I will go with beast lore.
Okay.
Because learning more as a hunter about beasts I'm hunting is going to be more beneficial. So we're going to start with awareness. Awareness went up, was increased from 12 to 13. Bartering. Bartering failed, man. With a 3. I can't even negotiate with the dice. All right. Beast lore. Whoa! I got a 2. I failed with Beast Lore 2. Dang. All right, Bushcraft. This one's gonna be hard. This one was already a 12. Yep, failed that. And then lastly is gonna be Hunting and Fishing. Failed that as well.
Oof. It's
not Hugo's day. Hey, I did get one level in awareness, which is gonna be useful down the road.
Yeah. What's Therion got?
To clarify, when I stabbed the face off of that bear, I pushed and I got a dragon, right?
Was it marked?
It wasn't marked.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a dragon on a push.
It was just a solid dragon. Okay, cool. Then I'm going to go for spears because I.
You're right.
Stab a bear in the face with a trident. I'm going to go for hunting and fishing because I helped Hugo
make the bait.
Persuasion because I managed to persuade Corin to open the book for me.
Upset him.
And then seamanship for the dragon that I got earlier.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Click them. Have at it. Oof.
So that's a dragon.
No, it's not. All right.
It is not Therion's day either.
No, what is that? A fail on spears, a fail on hunting and fishing, a fail on persuasion, but an increase on seamanship. Which, I mean, that's one of your more specific abilities, so I feel like that's not awful to have increased.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You are the boat guy.
That is me.
All right. We will. Did everybody click the bed and rest and recover for the night?
Yep.
Oh, I did not.
I think with that, we will, having you guys all rested, we will end kind of with the three of you heading to like the north side of town to meet up.
As Therion awakes, I'm going to look at him and like. Attempting to hide a smile, and I'm willing to roll a bluff roll for this if I have to, and then just like kind of while trying to hold back my giggles, ask,
so Therion, how was your sleep?
I look over and just, it was divine, my friend.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear it.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.